Welcome to the Strong Her Way to Eat, Move, and Live. Here we talk all things food freedom, fitness, and life transformation. It is great to be back here with you today, my friends. Happy Monday. Hope that you had a great weekend. Hope that the week is off to a good start for you. We just had my in-laws here for the weekend, and it was great to have them here since we haven't really seen them since Christmas time. We decided to make an impromptu trip to the Oregon coast, which if you have ever been to this coast, it is very pretty, but oftentimes it is windy and not always the warmest. And while we had an amazing lunch at one of our favorite spots over there, unfortunately, the weather did not cooperate. It was not the best. It was really windy, rainy, and pretty cold, but we had fun nonetheless. So that was a nice way to spend some time with family. I hope that you are adjusting to this new time change okay. If you're listening to this in real time, we did just spring our clocks ahead, except for you lucky folks in Arizona. But something to keep in mind as your body is adjusting to this new time, if you're tired, just expect that you might find yourself a little bit hungrier than usual, and perhaps even especially craving carbs or sweets, as those are definitely quick sources of glucose for your brain. Now, whether you are tired because of the sleep change, or maybe you have a new baby, or just a season of life where you're not sleeping well, that is just something to kind of keep in mind, is that it's totally normal to feel hungrier and to definitely be craving those carbs. So while you do want to obviously work on improving your sleep, just be aware that that might be something that comes up for you. And I think that just being aware of that is super useful, because you can see those cravings coming and know that you might need to have a nap, or maybe go for an earlier bedtime tonight, or maybe you just need some food, something that's healthy, that's balanced, that's going to sustain your blood sugar level, but also your energy. Anyway, that is not what we are actually talking about today. That was just a little aside, or maybe the appetizer to what we're going to get into. But I wanted to share a little bit of my personal experience with cycle syncing my workouts to my menstrual cycle, and then, of course, give you some tangible, practical ways that you can start to incorporate this into your workouts, with some specifics, especially on sets, reps, types, and intensity of workouts. All right. You know, if you've been listening to the show for any period of time, that I am all about us working with our bodies and partnering with them instead of working against them. When I was dieting and really in the midst of disordered eating and exercising, it felt like I was constantly working against my body, from really doing all that I could to avoid hunger, like drinking water, chewing gum, drinking coffee, etc. I'm just trying to really suppress my appetite, to maybe only eating a certain number of calories or points or macros a day in spite of still being hungry, and always working to shrink my body to be a certain number on the scale versus really focusing on the daily habits and behaviors and allowing my body to find its healthy weight range for me, right? So we've done past episodes on all the different things that ultimately kind of determine your weight. And a lot of them can be definitely influenced by lifestyle habits and behaviors. But the ironic thing is that no scale at your doctor's office can tell you the best or the most ideal weight for your body. So that's something that I've really been kind of wrestling with as I came out of dieting. It's something that we kind of work with my clients on. And I think that there really is kind of this piece about like, okay, I'm going to focus on the habits and the behaviors and taking care of myself, and I'm going to stop stressing necessarily about the weight on the scale. So like I said, if you've been listening or following along for a while, then you also know that I used to be a chronic dieter and really struggled with disordered eating and disordered exercise habits and patterns. I was way under eating, especially for the amount of exercise that I was doing and the physical demands that I was placing on my body. And there really was even just this period of time, no pun intended, although I do really enjoy puns and find myself to be pretty punny at times, but there was this period of time where I wasn't even having my period. And at the time, I thought that I was, you know, just super healthy, super lean, or that even in some weird way, this was kind of a badge of honor, right? Meaning that I was so lean that I had lost my period. But the reality is that not having a period isn't particularly healthy, right? It's not normal. And it's not even really something to be proud of. If we are in the season of life and that stretch of life where we are menstruating, then when we don't have our period, it's a sign that things are off balance hormonally. Maybe, you know, there's other things, other factors happening there. But for me, it definitely was too low of body fat percentage and not feeding my body enough. So to kind of switch gears a little bit, one of the most popular ways that you can organize your workout programs is a thing called linear progression, which basically just means that your workouts progress in a linear fashion as you move through the phases, right? So oftentimes workouts are kind of periodized over a 12-week period or a 12-week time span. But as you'll see, as we kind of dive into this, we're going to be periodizing your workouts over a 4-week span of time to match each phase of your menstrual cycle. Now, throughout the month, our hormones are doing different things, right? So if you're on hormonal birth control, then the birth control is essentially manipulating the hormones to kind of be doing what they're supposed to be doing or kind of mimicking what hormones should be doing throughout the month, trying to just pattern after that natural ebb and flow of your hormones, but of course, sort of tricking the body into thinking that you're pregnant so that you don't ovulate and you don't end up getting pregnant. But if you're not on hormonal birth control, your body may or may not be necessarily operating optimally with your hormones based on a series of factors, right? So the best way to determine, of course, what's happening with you hormonally is to get checked by a doctor so you can have your hormones done. They can read those back to you and you can just kind of get a baseline of, you know, are your hormones, you know, testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone, are they dropping and rising at the points of the month that they should be? Is, you know, are you estrogen dominant? Are you low in progesterone? You know, different things like that. So I recommend definitely at least having a balance or a baseline done. So have your blood drawn, have them look at the hormones, get that baseline, and then you can really see kind of where you're starting at. And then you can start to look at if things are functioning the way that they should be, then you don't really maybe need to make some changes. But if you're noticing that levels are either too low or there's an imbalance, then you can definitely implement some lifestyle changes around nutrition, around working out, stress management, and those kinds of things, just to name a few, to help start to bring those hormones back into balance. If you need a recommendation for a functional practitioner, please reach out to me because I can help with that. Otherwise, you can go to just kind of your primary care provider, have them break that down for you just so that you can have that idea. I am a huge advocate for us kind of knowing where we're at. So I like to have even my blood panel done every few years, again, just to check cholesterol, triglycerides, blood, you know, fasting blood glucose and those kinds of things. And then just adding in that hormone panel every few years can be a great way as well to just check in and see that everything in your body is working as it should. All right, so assuming that everything is working as it should be, here is really just a high level breakdown of each phase of your cycle, what the hormones are doing, and the type of workouts that would be best in that particular phase to support your body. So the bleed phase, typically your hormones are low, as well as the blood glucose levels are also going to be low. We want to think of this as kind of the maintenance phase. So ideal reps here would be 15 to 20 reps, and you're thinking about 50% of your max effort. I would like to suggest to you that you aim for about 3 to 4 sets of each different workout or each different exercise within that workout. Over the bleed phase, you want to think restorative movement, rest, walk, resting, walking, maybe swimming, maybe you're doing Pilates or yoga, or, you know, again, if you want to stick with the weight training, we're going to go up to higher reps, lower max effort, and 3 to 4 sets there. Now, towards the end of the week, as your energy starts to increase and you're kind of preparing for that next phase, you can start to kind of bump that up a little bit in the effort and maybe drop the reps down a little bit. Next, moving into the follicular phase. For here, we're going to drop the rep recommendation. So we're going to go for 10 to 15 reps, keeping that 3 to 4 sets. With this phase, you want to really think about increasing your rest time, either between the exercises or between your circuits, those kinds of things. Interval workouts here can be great. You can start to increase the intensity and the load from that previous week, from that bleed week. And then as we move into ovulation and kind of that early luteal, estrogen and testosterone are going to be the highest here. This is going to be really your strength phase. So we're looking at 1 to 3 reps or 2 to 5 reps. So if you're really looking at kind of finding that PR or maybe that 1 rep max and you're really wanting to push the weight, then you're going to be more at that 1 to 3 reps. Or you're going to think maybe 2 to 5 or kind of 4 to 6, 8 reps. And we're going to go for 6 to 8 sets total. Now, this is going to be at about 75% of your max effort or higher. So you're lifting really heavy for a shorter period of time, right? We're doing less reps, higher sets, but higher effort as well. So you want to think high load or high intensity workouts. Maybe, like I said, this is where you're focusing on setting your PR, setting your maxes, really pushing yourself. Think shorter, more intense workouts, or even incorporating some HIIT here as well, right? So that's that high intensity interval style training. Early luteal and kind of moving into mid to late luteal, we want to think about transitioning into more aerobic style workouts. So we're going to decrease the load and the intensity. Think longer, slower workouts if you're doing cardio, and then really focusing on kind of tapering off towards the end of the week, especially as we're moving into that late luteal phase. So once you reach the mid to late luteal phase, we want to look at this as kind of the deload or the rest and recovery week. So here we are in more of a fat burning mode, but cortisol levels are also higher. And then, you know, as far as sets and reps go, we're going to aim for that 10 to 12 reps at about 4 to 5 sets. And then as we get late luteal, closer to bleed again, we're going to bump those reps up and drop the intensity. So we're going to move back up towards that 15 reps. So maybe think 12 to 15 reps here at about 50 to 55% of your max effort. This means that, you know, as we are bumping up the reps, typically we're going to be lifting less weight, so less max effort, and backing off of that intensity. So think of exercise as a stressor on the body. So especially in this mid to late luteal phase, as cortisol levels are naturally rising, when we're adding exercise, even though it's a good stress, it's something that we want to be doing for our bodies, it still can be adding cortisol or kind of bumping those blood cortisol levels up. And that in a way is, it's like adding gasoline to a fire that's already like rip roaring and burning, which is going to, you know, it's not necessarily going to be working with your body, right? So it's like if cortisol levels are high, we add exercise, which is a stressor, which also increases cortisol, we're actually going to be kind of working against our body and can really lead to adverse results for a lot of women. Now, one of the biggest mistakes that I see women making is working out really the same way, kind of week in or week out, right? Working at that same intensity throughout the month and really thinking that they need to push themselves hard all the time. Now, I would say that this is probably rooted really in that toxic fitness culture thinking, which often leads to us feeling guilty or just feeling guilty or bad if we need to kind of let our foot off the gas a little bit when it comes to the intensity or if we're needing to take a little bit more break. So that, again, is just something to notice. If you're feeling like you need to always be pushing yourself or you need to always be sweating, you need to always be sore, there's definitely going to be some mindset shifts and some mindset work that has to happen here because we don't always need to be pushing ourselves. We don't always need to be working out the same way in order for our workouts to be effective. And in fact, when we are always, you know, going for that higher intensity, that heavier weight, we're definitely going to at some point have that pushback, right? Where we're starting to get some adverse effects, working against our body, working against our results. And there is that point of diminishing returns for sure. So just notice if that's you. I was definitely there, especially in those high dieting days where I was putting so much pressure on myself to do it perfectly, to always push myself, to always have to weigh a certain number or look a certain way. I felt really guilty. Like, it was hard for me to take those rest days. It was hard for me to back off because I was so afraid of gaining the weight back or, you know, just being lazy or whatever was going on. So just check in with yourself there. Now, here are some positive benefits of exercise on your menstrual cycle when we are syncing our exercise, especially to the different phases of our cycle, right? So again, we always want to be thinking about how can we partner with our bodies through food, through nutrition, through other lifestyle habits, meaning that of course we're moving it and we're nourishing it and replenishing our bodies, giving it what it needs with that focus or that aim of mostly whole and nutritious foods with those fun foods, those treat foods kind of sprinkled in throughout the week. So some benefits to kind of consider when you're looking at partnering your cycle with the different phases of your workouts. This can lighten your flow. Now, my period has been pretty short and fairly light for as long as I can remember, and this could be a function of starting hormonal birth control early and being on it for a while, possibly even genetic related for myself, but also we know that exercise can lighten your flow a little bit, but it can also shorten your flow. Reduce of PMS symptoms. So again, I've especially experienced this as I started syncing my cycle to my workouts, and especially as I've worked on kind of healing my body, healing my hormones after dieting for years. Reduce overall levels of tension. It elevates and stabilizes your mood, can improve sleep, and improve self-esteem. So those are just some major benefits of exercise as it pertains to your monthly cycle, to PMS, but just overall. So if you're wondering like how you can practically start to sync your monthly cycle with your workouts, I would focus on starting with the first day of your bleed, unless, of course, you've already been tracking your cycle and you know what phase you're in now. So keep in mind, your actual phase length or even just your monthly cycle length might vary a little bit, but generally each of the four phases is going to be about 7 days, give or take a little bit. So you've got your bleed days, which is typically days 24 through the second of your cycle. Follicular is days 3 through day 9, ovulation days 10 through 16, and luteal would be days 17 through 23. Again, I would suggest you really focus on tracking your own menstrual cycle so that you can get a feel for how long it is. You can start to, you know, really get in sync with your body and in touch and really start to even feel and kind of sense when you're changing or when your body's transitioning based on energy levels, based on how easy or how difficult workouts are starting to feel. And I do track mine with an app just to help me kind of keep it clear. But you definitely want to, you know, even if you are using an app, I would suggest even maybe kind of journaling, right? Like, what's your energy level like? How is exercise feeling throughout the month? Are you finding that maybe you're getting tired or winded sooner or with less intensity or effort? Those all could be great cues for you to kind of know what phase you're in or what phase you're moving into, and then to be able to adjust your workouts accordingly. Now, of course, as always, slowing down and really checking in with yourself is going to provide great insight and information for you, right? I always like to teach my clients to just run things as an experiment, to track things. You know, it's like if we're making a change or a tweak, let's journal about it. Let's see, you know, okay, how am I feeling based on making this change? Am I noticing anything? Does it seem to be moving me closer to my goals or further away? Again, you know, this is just information. It's data for you. This way you can ultimately really start to biohack your body, ultimately finding the sweet spot and the best combination of food, of exercise, of sleep, of all of those things for your body, your goals, and your life overall. All right, that is what I have for you this week. I hope that this was helpful for you. I know that syncing my workouts to the different phases of my monthly cycle has been a game changer for myself over the past several months, almost a year, and also for my clients that are implementing it as well. Plus, it really is a relatively simple swap to make and is a great way for you to, again, partner with your body, support it throughout the month and what is happening there hormonally. So if you need need help syncing your current workouts to your cycle, I want to invite you to email Alicia at AliciaCarlson.com. We can set up an exercise audit. So we'll just hop on the phone for about 30 minutes. I'll give you some practical strategies that you can implement right away so that you can start to harness the power of your period to your workouts. So I hope that you enjoy the rest of your day and week. And if this was something that helped you, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening to the show. And go ahead and share the love. Share this episode with a woman who you know would benefit from syncing her cycle, her monthly cycle, to her workouts. Thank you again for spending your time with me. I can't wait to be here with you again next week. And if we're not already connected on social media, be sure that you come and find me on Instagram at @AliciaCarlson_, or find me over on Facebook. I'll be sure to have all those links in the show notes below. So until next time, have a great rest of your week. Thanks. Bye.